Now we have representatives from West Bonner County School District, Financial Manager Jennifer Anselmo and Superintendent Paul Anselmo to talk about the upcoming educational support maintenance operation replacement levy. That's a lot of words in there. This is a very important levy that's coming up. This levy will be on the ballot for the May 18th election. It's coming right up. So welcome, Jennifer and Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And so let's just dive in a little bit. You know, kind of going back and forth, we want to hear all about the levy and why it's important to the school district here and the details of it. But it came up to my understanding that there's a lot of questions. Why do school districts in our state, 80% of school districts in Idaho, have to have this every 2 year supplemental levy to make ends meet? Can you give us a little background about why that is? What happened?
Sure. So just a little quick background to that. In 2006, the legislature removed the school tax. Prior to that time, everybody paid a mill rate of $3 per thousand of assessed value. It was just called the school tax. It was within the property tax. The legislature removed that in 2006 and shifted it to a sales tax. They added 1% sales tax, promptly followed by the recession that we had during that time, and school funding was cut during that time, and thus became the need for all these districts to run supplemental levies just to keep the doors open.
It takes quite a toll on a school district to run a levy every 2 years. What is that look like for what you're trying to do just to make ends meet on a fairly conservative budget, I think, too, from what I've seen?
No, absolutely. It's a challenge each and every time we have to go out for that. We try our best to be fiscally responsible, the school board being fiscally responsible. And, you know, just to do that, it's a lot of pressure on everybody involved, employees, everybody's feeling that pressure. And I think it definitely causes a divide in the community when you're out there asking for money.
All righty. Well, there's a lot to know about this levy, a lot of numbers. And I think in thinking about it, the bottom line is not numbers. The bottom line is the students. But we do still need to know numbers. It helps people understand why you are asking for this levy to be passed. So why don't we get to that? But first also, West Bonner County School District, what does that entail? Is that Priest River? What does that look like? How many students and how many schools are in your district?
Oh, sure. So we have 5 schools within our district. We have a large geographical district, 780 square miles. And within that, you know, we're running somewhere around 950 students currently, projecting a few more coming back after the COVID-19 pandemic. We lost a few during that time. So yeah, it's a large geographical district, not necessarily a lot of students.
Okay, so that means a lot of driving and busing and hidden costs, not really hidden, but it's not just paying the teachers, which unfortunately is underpaid in my estimation from what I've read about the funding from in Idaho is 50th in the nation for students per student funding. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Okay, so this levy is a part of the absolute need to keep your school district going. And did you mention how many, you said not a lot of students, but there's 5 schools in the district, and how many employees, both teacher employees and support staff?
We have about 180 employees right now. We are the largest employer in West Bonner County. And just for an idea on the boundaries of our school district, we go north of Priest Lake, all the way down to Spirit Lake, over to Old Town, and all the way over through Laclede. So That's that large geographical area Paul mentioned.
The cost of busing is probably pretty high for your district.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not reimbursed 100% from the state either.
Yeah. So let's get to what is the educational support, maintenance, and operations replacement levy? What does this mean? Why is it important? What programs are funded? The whole dollar and cents thing. Jennifer, you probably have a lot of those numbers.
So, thank you. I'll jump in real quick here, just kind of the basics of the levy. I think Jennifer will be happy to discuss more of the financial part of it, but just kind of in general, the levy is to support educational programs, maintenance of buildings, and our day-to-day operations. And it allows us to offer these elective classes for our students. So there's more options available for them. You know, music, choir, extracurricular activities, all of those are made available through this levy. It allows us to maintain our buildings since this is mostly unfunded from the state. And again, I know Jennifer will talk on that a little bit later, but we have requirements there of how much we have to spend on that maintenance and mostly unfunded from the state level, you know, and as you know, when you use buildings, things tend to wear out. A few of the operations part of it includes transportation, again, partially funded at the state level, safety and security. So with these funds, we're able to fund our school resource officer among some other safety programs. It also covers some salary and benefits of employees, as well as special education funding shortfalls. The state caps their funding that we receive for that, and the needs far exceed the funds given.
Right, so real quick, a question in there that Jennifer, you'll probably hit anyways. What percentage of this levy, if passed, it looks like it's fixed at $3,432,000, et cetera. Is it of your whole budget? What percentage of the budget?
It's 25% of our total budget. And just to dive down a little bit on what programs, more specifically, Paul touched on some of them that are covered by our levy dollars. But as he mentioned, co-curricular and extracurricular activities, which does include athletics, performing arts, music, instructional materials and supplies, which includes library supplies, classroom supplies, our technology needs, and new curriculum adoptions. Maintaining and approving facilities. With this levy, we are requesting heating system repairs and updates, roof repairs, siding repairs at Priest River Elementary, and traffic safety lighting at Priest Lake Elementary, which is on the highway. And then obviously the ability to increase safety with our maintaining our school resource officer and safe transportation.
So this is a replacement levy. Is it really increasing anyone's tax burden? What is it? What is this? What does the word replacement mean in this picture?
Sure. So the levy is to replace our current expiring levy. It's kind of a common myth out there that these levies add on to each other, and that's just absolutely not true. Every 2 years, the levy expires, and we go back out for a vote to get a new levy approved. And so, you know, in terms of how it changes in their property taxes, our mill rate is staying the same as our current expiring levy. So it's $1.47 per thousand of assessed property value, and that's after the homeowner's exemption. Due to the increase in property values and the sale of Priest Lake lease properties to private owners, we were able to keep the mill rate the same as our last levy, but actually ask for more dollars this time. So if you didn't have an increase in that assessed property value, pay the same as last time.
So does that mean that some programs will lose funding or have reduced funding and some programs will increase the need for funding. How is it balancing if the funding stays the same? Basically, are all the programs that are funded staying about the same?
Yes, so our current levy request has most of the same requests it's had for many years. I would say most of the additional dollars are going towards facilities with this levy request that we're able to generate. All but about 200,000 of those extra dollars are going towards bigger facility repairs.
Okay. So what the bottom line is, when you're talking about the extracurricular activities that this levy and all the levies have paid for, this is not a new thing. I just want to keep making sure we understand that. These extracurricular activities, how does it impact or affect a student? Because really that, again, I'll mention, they're the bottom line. They're the reason you're doing everything that you're doing. How does it enrich, impact, make a difference in a student's life in school and beyond?
Oh, thank you for that. So I've been a coach for many years as well. And so I really have a strong belief in those co-curricular activities, not just the sports, but the music and arts made available as well. And I think, you know, that's part of creating a whole child and educating to the whole child, and the lessons learned through those sports activities or, you know, your music programs, drama and such are lessons you take with you throughout your whole life working as a team. I think it certainly enriches the child's education.
And when they leave school, does it help them find their path? Because school is one thing and then they become adults. And does it, you know, support their movement forward in any certain way?
Well, absolutely. I think, you know, that whole thing of working with others, working as part of a team, you know, and for some kids at a certain age, you're not seeing necessarily a value in education as much, but you're certainly seeing the value in sports and in those other programs involved. And when you have those, you know, it allows you to keep pursuing your education as well.
Okay. Jennifer, why don't we find out a little bit more about the funding aspect of this? What happens, I don't want to say this, but how crucial is getting this levy passed to the goals and objectives of keeping this school district healthy and vital for the students?
So basically, I mean, we would consider this essential funding. Without this, the board would be forced to cut 25% of our budget. So I'm really not in a position to make assumptions about what the board would do with that. However, it is 25% of our budget that we would be without.
So as we mentioned before, in Idaho, the cost of education is not funded fully by the state, federal dollars, thus the need for local or county levies. And you mentioned that this levy does not increase the cost to the property owners. I think it's important to kind of go over that one more time, because that can be a talking point for any opposition to the levy.
Correct. So it's all based on projections. So obviously projections can shift. However, if somebody's home value was the same when we requested our last levy as it is now, we are levying more dollars without raising that mill rate. So their chunk that is going towards our district would be the same, essentially. As those market values in our area go up, it does lower the mill rate. So that's what captured those extra funds. To touch on funding in Idaho, you know, we'd be remiss to not mention the biggest chunk of our levy does go towards our general fund shortfall. And our general fund shortfall is basically all of these deficiencies we have in our funding. So it covers the cost of, Paul already touched on a few of these, salaries and benefits. Our utilities are not funded by the state. certain special education services are not funded by the state. I always like to mention a few unfunded mandates or funding shortfalls from the state because they're easy to see. The first one is with transportation. Our transportation reimbursement model from the state is that they will fund us somewhere between 50 and 85% of our actual expense. So when you look at the dollars, it's around 70% of our actual expenses are funded by the state. Another big one that Paul touched on earlier is facilities. Idaho code mandates, based on your square footage of your buildings, how much money you have to spend on facilities maintenance. So for our district, that's about $380,000 a year that we're required to spend. However, the only pot of money we get for facilities is called lottery funds, and it's about $76,000. So as you can see, there's some gaps there, and that is where this general fund shortfall and the need for this levy is so big.
And it will be on the ballot on May 18th for the West Bonner County voting district. And if you want to register to vote, it's really simple. You can actually ask for an absentee ballot up until May 7th, or you can do it in person May 18th. And you can actually do early voting at the county building here in Sandpoint, starting, starting pretty soon. But you can go to idahovotes.gov where you can register to get an absentee ballot or find out all about the deadlines and things like that. So I, as a person here at 88.5 KRFY, really like to have informed and active voters, because guess what? Your vote counts, right? And in this case, it counts and it affects children. It affects our very best of what we do as people here in North Idaho is take care of our children. So anything else you'd like to say about this before we sign off?
I guess if you're looking for more information about the levy, you can visit our website at sd83.org. And we do have a tab that's called Levy Facts, and it's more detailed information. Or feel free to call Superintendent Anselmo or myself for more information as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of misinformation going out there, and we just encourage everybody to find the facts and make informed decisions for yourself, not believing some of the misinformation being put out, particularly on social media.
I think your website is great. I went to it to find out a lot about it. And so I would also encourage folks to go to that website. Again, it's WBCSD or West Bonner County School District .org.
It's just SD83.org.
Okay, there you go. School District 83. Okay. So again, thank you very much for helping us be informed. I want to thank West Bonner County School District representatives, financial manager Jennifer Anselmo, and Superintendent Paul Anselmo for sharing this important information about the upcoming replacement levy vote that will be on May 18th ballot. So Paul and Jennifer, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And best of luck with your levy election.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's about it, folks. Thanks for listening to 88.5 KRFY community and listener supported radio for North Idaho and beyond, streaming on the web at krfy.org. Podcasts of this and all community conversation shows are available on the station website, again, at krfy.org. And since we are a resource to help our community with information and news, here's an update. Information about the novel coronavirus, or better known as COVID-19, is evolving on a daily basis, and new changing safety protocols are coming out regularly. Please continue to work together to minimize the impact of COVID-19 in our community and respond proactively to federal and state guidance. More information at coronavirus.idaho.gov, where you can also sign up to get the vaccine. It's really pretty simple, and we can get this through this together. Let's be good neighbors and friends and protect each other. Please wear a mask inside public buildings and consider getting vaccinated if you can. Also, information about upcoming county election, which are May 18th. Your vote is important and your vote counts. Information about the upcoming election is available on Sandpoint Online Election Central and at the Bonner County Election Office. There you can see registration, absentee ballot, and early voting information and deadlines. You can also go to idahovotes.gov for a real easy website. Thanks for listening today to Community Conversations, which airs every Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. on 88.5 KRFY Community Radio. Please enjoy Otto's eclectic mix all day long. Have a great day and bye for now.